Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Northern Dynasty Minerals conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the one followed by the four on your telephone. And if at any time during the conference you need to reach an operator, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Monday, September 16th, 2013. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Doug Allen, Vice President of Corporate Communications for Northern Dynasty Minerals. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Kim. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking the time to join us on short notice. We appreciate it. This call is in response to the announcement or the notice that we received last evening from Anglo American that it is their intent to withdraw from the Pebble Project. In deference to Ron, in anticipation of questions that the audience may ask of Ron, there may be some questions with all due respect to as good as they may be. We don't presently have the answers to some of your good questions. We are beginning what will be a negotiation with Anglo American in the days and weeks ahead. At the end of a 60-day notice period, Anglo will withdraw from the partnership. But you will appreciate, please, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things to which we do not currently have the answers. With that caveat, let me turn it over to Ron initially. I should, in addition to Ron Thiessen, CEO, we also have joining us on the call Bob Dickinson, Executive Chairman, and Marshawn Snyman, the Chief Financial Officer of Northern Dynasty. And they will all be available for answers to your questions as needed at the during the Q&A period. I anticipate Ron will have introductory remarks of perhaps 10 minutes, and then we will open the lines up to Q&A. So without further ado, Ron, over to you.
Thanks, Doug. Good afternoon, or good morning, as the case may be, for everybody on the call. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'm in London presently, having arrived here yesterday afternoon. As everybody will have read in the news release, Anglo has issued their formal notice to withdraw from the partnership late last night. A lot of people are wondering, you know, likely how long has this been known for? What is it? The truth of the matter is I got a call from Anglo on Friday, mid-afternoon, Vancouver time, evening in London, wherein I was informed that they were planning to withdraw from the partnership. They were hopeful that this wouldn't lead to a news release actually at the time, and that the negotiation or the process for withdrawal could be undertaken over the ensuing 10 days, 2 weeks. However, this was obviously a material event, and on top of which it was confirmed that it was a final decision. So by the end of the day on Friday, we determined that we were going to have to news release this as soon as possible. And so we had a very busy weekend with Anglo working out news releases and the rest of what you've seen. I think, you know, going forward, I think in terms of Anglo's decision, Mark Cutifani's quote that this is not about Pebble, it is about Anglo, best defines, to the best I can gather, Anglo's position that they had other extenuating circumstances which just in the unfortunate circumstance for them led them to this decision ultimately. From NDM standpoint, this means that we will now be back in possession of 100% of the Pebble project and be the beneficiary of something north of $540 million worth of expenditures by Anglo over the last 5 years, a tremendous database, and one which provides us with the opportunity to completely evaluate this project, and we're in a position where we are 99% complete on, I would say, the project description, which is the functional document for permitting purposes. the decision that Anglo made certainly was not known to us prior to Friday, although we were aware, as everybody was, that a project review was underway from about midsummer. And I think I know that from NDM standpoint, we were the first ones to receive a call. Even the Pebble people in Alaska were not aware of it until I made a subsequent call on Friday evening to the CEO of the Pebble Partnership. Some questions that people are asking is, you know, what's going to happen vis-a-vis the technical capabilities of Pebble Limited Partnership. Given the fact that all of this money has been spent by Anglo and they have seconded some engineers into the project, I mean, we are functionally done with all the heavy lifting, and what remains really for this project is the permitting process. So I think moving forward, the partnership itself, while there's likely to be downsizing in capacity, we won't miss any of the technical capabilities that will be withdrawn by Anglo when they leave. Northern Dynasty, in conjunction with HDI, has capacity to fill all those slots. We will keep the limited partnership in place for the certainly the near future, in the event that another party might see fit to join the structure. Currently it's envisioned that Northern Dynasty and Anglo will go through a negotiating period on the withdrawal process, the funding through that withdrawal process, and the downsizing of certain aspects of the Pebble Limited Partnership. But I really don't have any answers in that regard at this point in time. So I think with that, Doug, I can take questions for those that have a myriad of questions, and I apologize in advance if my answers are going to be, you know, at this juncture, I don't know.
Okay, thanks, Ron. Kim, let's, if we can, open the lines up to questions and take our first questioner when you have a moment.
Certainly, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. And if you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before entering your request. One moment, please, for our first question. And our first question comes from the line of C457. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Could you discuss your thinking and maybe progress of finding a new partner and maybe finding someone who would sign an offtake agreement? How far down the road are you? Are you excited? Is this a long process? Can you just sort of expand on those thoughts?
Well, you know, we haven't even had a board meeting, per se, to address the way forward with Anglo having withdrawn. There have been lots of discussions, though, over the past few years with various parties, including streamers, trading companies, smelting and refining companies on potential participation in the Pebble project. We always felt that in terms of streaming and the offtake agreements that those were the kinds of transactions that were best entered into post issuance of permits and once we were looking for development financing. In terms of other industry participants, like other mining companies, again, it's been no big secret that over the years that Northern Dynasty felt that the project itself would ultimately be developed by a consortium of companies, which consisted of mining companies and smelting and refining companies, not unlike, let's say, the Antamina project or the Escondida project. in Latin America. So those talks have been ongoing. They started early on. In fact, if I can take you back, the whole purpose in bringing Anglo into the project back in 2007 was to raise an adequate amount of capital which would allow us to do the engineering to get to, let's say, a PFS level of detail, which permitted another mining company to, if you would, take out Northern Dynasty. Perhaps we were a little optimistic on what we thought in terms of the amount of expenditure and the timing of that, but certainly having spent $540 million plus dollars since that period of time, we have sufficient information to, I think, allow any of the majors or any of the resource companies to make that assessment. That's something that will probably occur in the days forward, and there might be a renewed sense with Anglo having withdrawn from the project.
Okay, and I would think that Chinese would be very interested in this world-class project because of their need for raw materials. So I would assume you've had a dialogue with them.
Yes, I've had a variety of conversations with different Chinese companies, large mining companies, and especially some of the smelting and refining companies. In general, their interest was predominantly in offtake, and so we felt again that the timing for something like that, given the structure of the partnership over the last few years, was post-permitting. So where we get to in the days ahead, I think that's still up in the air. I mean, we've only just received the notice from Anglo, so I haven't had any conversations with any Chinese mining companies in the last 24 hours.
Okay, and then one last question. I'll throw it open to other people. does Anglo owe you any money? Is there some sort of an arrangement where, when they terminate the relationship, they have to pay you $5 million, $50 million, or is there spending that's been done that they have to write you a check for? So what sort of, once you've finalized the separation of the two entities and they're no longer a partner, do you end up with a big check that comes in, or can you review what's going to happen there?
Well, it is addressed in the LPA and the shareholder limited partners agreement, the shareholders agreement, both of which have been filed on CDAR and are open to review, although there are some sections that have been redacted, and there is a withdrawal and funding process in place. And so, agreements tend not to generally cover all eventualities, and so part of that is obviously a negotiation going through expected expenditures for redundancies and perhaps some terminations and other contracts that were put into place at Anglo's behest, and so that's what that's a process that we will go through, I would say, in the next 10 days to 2 weeks to finalize what that number will be.
And can you sort of summarize us the range? I mean, is it highly likely, unlikely?
No, I wouldn't venture a number at this juncture.
Okay. An adjective?
Sorry, what's that?
An adjective, large, small, amazing?
Not material to Anglo.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to register for any questions or comments, please press 1-4 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's 1-4 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of C391. Please proceed with your question. Line C391, your line is open. Please go ahead.
This is John Tomazos. Am I the one you're prompting?
Yes, please go ahead, sir.
Wow, that's a new code for me.
Afternoon, John, C391.
Good afternoon. In terms of your next arrangement, there could be potential interest among copper companies, gold companies, silver streaming companies, financial entities, smelters, many areas, and of course, the deposit is huge. Given the risk-averse nature of entities today, even in China, why not put together a broad consortium where you might have 10 new partners each take 5% pieces, since people don't seem to want to take risk, where even Anglo-American itself might take a little piece rather than a billion and a half piece?
John, that's an interesting concept. I mean, I know that the heavy lifting has been done, and so the costs involved of going through permitting will drop substantially. There's probably even a difference in the cost of permitting, whether it's done under an Anglo regime or a Northern Dynasty regime, and certainly we'll be looking at that. I mean, effectively, we're going to step forward to a zero-based budget on this project, you know, for the year 2014, as if we're carrying the permitting through. And then, you know, once we've got that hand, once we've dealt with Anglo's withdrawal, we will look at, you know, what is the most optimum way of moving this project ahead. But, I mean, certainly we don't need $1 billion to get this thing through project permitting, which is roughly the amount that was left in the Anglo expenditure to retain their 50% interest. And it may be that, like you say, if you put a consortium of parties together, then the amount that any one party is risking is minimal. We just have to ensure that you know, we retain the asset in good standing, and that that NDM and NDM share represents a proper percentage of the value of the project overall.
Do you maintain the operator position yourself and have your new partners be minority non-controlling partners going forward, rather than, you know, have to worry about your date standing you up for the prom again?
Yeah. Well, again, it depends on what the particular outcome. I think our objective is that we want to retain the premium that comes with having probably the most valuable mineral deposit, certainly in North America. And to that extent, we're not going to sell that for a pittance. And I would say the amount of money that's going to be required to take it through permitting would be, maybe I shouldn't insult it by saying a pittance, but it would be very small in relation to the overall value of the project. But again, if it's a major that's coming to the table today, then my expectation would be that funding for the permitting process would represent a nominal amount of the consideration at the end of the day. And if they wanted control, that at some point that that they would have to take out Northern Dynasty. I mean, remember, we've done in effect $540 million worth of financing with zero dilution. Are you still there, John?
I'm there. Thank you for your response.
Okay. Good talking to you.
Our next question comes from the line of C463. Again, that's C463. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, gentlemen. My question is, does Anglo take with it, with its withdrawal, any equity position in the project or in the partnership, number one. Number two, if you could just address the timing of their exit. Do you find it at all curious that, you know, given the fact that EPA just visited, do you think that has anything to do with the timing of their exit at all?
Number one, Anglo on withdrawal retains zero interest in the limited partnership, no equity in Northern Dynasty. So it always was an all-or-none scenario. They had to stay in for the entire $1.5 billion or walk away with nothing. In terms of I don't think the EPA's visit to the site had anything to do with it. In fact, you know, that visit was seen by everybody as pretty positive. I mean, I can't really talk for Anglo on all of this, but you know, I would suggest that, you know, we were coming up to the development of programs and budgets for year 2014, and most of that has to be done within Anglo's cycle of budgeting in the next month or two. So I think the timing was related to their own internal process. And rather than going through a process of putting together pretty comprehensive programs and budgets for 2014, they decided let's make this decision before we actually get to that point, and lead people to believe that we're going to be there. So I think that's what drove the timing.
An additional question: with respect to Rio, since they still own the percentage of the company, at least of Northern Dynasty, that they do. Have you discussed anything with them post the departure from Anglo? What is their opinion? What is their current position?
I have not had an opportunity to talk to Rio in that regard. We do have a Rio officer who sits on the board. He was obviously participated in some of the decision making late Friday and through Saturday, and I am advised that he has informed Rio, and I will undoubtedly be talking with them while I'm here in London for the next 2 days. And the good news is, you know, they own 18-19% of Northern Dynasty, and that last week represented 8.5-9% of the Pebble project overall. They're now back up to 18-19% of the Pebble project overall, having a massive database.
And finally, gentlemen, what is our current cash position, and what is our monthly cash burn?
Marchand, do you want to?
Yes. Good morning. The current cash position is $22.5 million, and the monthly cash burn going forward, we'll only be able to determine that once we've sat down and determine the revised budgets for the Pebble project for the remainder of the year. So as Ron pointed out, not only are we doing a zero-based budget for Pebble for 2014, but we'll be doing it for the remainder of September, October, November, and December. So it's a bit difficult to give you a hard number. In terms of the corporate costs, it is somewhere in the range of $300,000 a month. But that includes a lot of time spent on Pebble by our staff in any event, so some of that cost will be duplicated.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to register for a question, please press 1-4 on your telephone. Again, that's 1-4 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of C484. Again, that's C484. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thank you for setting up the call so quickly. Certainly appreciate it. I have two questions, and the second is simply a continuation on the first. Thinking about the permitting process, specifically from Anglo's perspective, how much do you estimate that they would have had to pay to complete the permitting process That's the first part. And the second part is, did they, in their conversation with you, I guess either Friday afternoon or any time in your last, the history of your engagement, did they ever talk about restructuring the cash flow streams or pushing it out at any period of time? Was that something that they contemplated or not? And if not, I guess why? Why do you think that would be?
Well, the project has been driven by the underlying agreements, the LPA and the shareholders agreement, limited partners agreement, shareholders agreement. And while there aren't, you know, hard lines in the sand related to, you know, the timing of completion of things, there is the general requirement that the project be advanced in the most minor-like fashion possible, and that, really it can't be put on care and maintenance and the like. So every year we've had some pretty substantial debates about what the ensuing year's programs and budgets are going to be. As I said, you know, we probably were a little unrealistic and overly optimistic when we signed the agreement in 2007 in terms of the timing of achieving a PFS level study that was, you know, fundamentally compatible with Anglo's requirements. And so the net result of that is we've got a tremendous, a much more robust database, Anglo having spent $540 million on the project, and so the heavy lifting is done. Now going forward, one is going to, you know, reduce all field expenditures, really there'd be a minimum of drilling and even engineering until one gets to the tail end of the permitting process. I mean, the process is about a negotiation of what the regulators are going to permit you to build, and I guess if in an ideal world, what you put in the first instance, if everything is compatible with their views, then you really wouldn't have too much more to do until you actually got your permits, and then you'd go to final detailed engineering. So, we've looked at budgets through the permitting process anywhere from, you know, $20 million a year to, I'll say, you know, $40 or $45 million a year, and that predominantly relates to, you know, how big a public affairs campaign one wants to conduct. For Northern Dynasty, those are pretty large numbers. We don't operate on the same level as would an Anglo-American, and our view of what you would spend in a permitting process would, I think, be much less, and we would probably be far less vigorous in public affairs campaigns and the like. But I can't give you a hard number. I give you a range of what it would be. So.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Oh, you asked if they talked about.
Yeah, was this brought up on Friday?
No, they on Friday they simply told me that they planned to withdraw. I think, you know, they understood that the mandate was an all or none transaction. That's what it's been from day one, and that, you know, really putting the project on a care and maintenance basis would be unacceptable to all the parties concerned, including the stakeholders in the region, the state of Alaska, etc.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of C494. Again, that's C494. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Ron. It's Craig Upson from Peace Cures. Can you hear me?
Sorry, I missed that.
Ron, it's Craig Upson from TD Securities.
Yep.
Do you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. You mentioned earlier, if I'm not correct, that the project description was, you said, 99% complete. I'm curious in terms of, you know, the timing of that submission, given the Anglo's withdrawal. If you can let me know, maybe, you know, what the staff size is currently with the PLP, and what you envision it maybe going forward, and in terms of, I guess the curious question is why. why Anglo would withdraw if it was close to 99% complete. Why wouldn't they just see us into the NEPA process and see where things go from there? If you could just maybe talk about the timing of the project description, what's still involved, and the size of the staff, and I guess the question would be, were most of the staff hired on an equal basis by Northern Dynasty? Were these individuals brought into the partnership, or they brought in from Anglo, and how you see that technical expertise going forward? Thanks.
So, the reality was last week there were two groups of partner representatives, Northern Dynasty and Anglo, up in Anchorage going through what I'll call the penultimate draft of the project description, and the report back generally that it's in very good shape, even from the PLP staff, I heard that the amount of partner involvement, recommendation, suggestion was greatly appreciated, and so I think it's very close to a finished product, and so that's where we stand on that. Our target was to file the project description and trigger permitting in the last quarter of this year. I mean, obviously, nothing has changed in that regard, but I'm sure over the next 10 days, 2 weeks, the Indian board is going to want to review and take a look at the timing of all of that. In terms of the PLP staff, the Anchorage office was staffed up substantially with non-NDM and non-Anglo people. I think that there might have been one or two Anglo people in the Anchorage office, and there was probably a total complement of 80 to 90 people in that office overall. That was staffed up substantially to comply with kind of what Anglo's mandate and their views were. There also was an engineering office in Vancouver, which had several Anglo engineers in that office. Like I said, I think all of the heavy lifting has been done, and so Anglo will, my understanding, be looking to initiate most of their personnel. We haven't come to terms on the timing of that, other than on a general basis that people would be made available probably through the balance of this year if and as they're required. Otherwise, they will be going back to, the seconded people will be going back to Anglo.
Okay.
And I think the reason they decided to withdraw was, in terms of the timing, again, I go back, I think it simply had to do with their budgeting and cash flow cycling, that typically we would try and get programs and budgets, at least in a preliminary state, done for them for October, November for the ensuing year. Many times we didn't actually come to final determinations, but we were generally within a plus minus 20% by fall for the ensuing year. Anything else, Craig?
Our next question comes from the line of C598. Again, that's C598. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. Good morning, Ron. Dr. Arteman, private investor. Have you anybody already negotiating with you for completion and development of Pebble, either before or after Anglo? I know, obviously, you can't mention specific names if there are ongoing negotiations, but are you all at least negotiating with anyone?
Well, no, not negotiating with anybody. There are continually some, talks taking place. There's, people staying abreast of the project, and I would say certainly I haven't talked to anybody today, and, realistically, the news release only came out, so I have put a call in to Rio to
right.
Get an appointment and go see them, but that is just a matter, more of, it courtesy plus, you know, they're 18-19% shareholder. So, like I said, I'm sure I'm going to go in and see them and get their views today. But I think, you know, it's going to take, you know, a few, I won't say more than a few days, a little while. I mean, Northern Dynasty has 100% of this project back. That is a very, very significant thing. It does change the dynamic very much. We now are effectively in control of the destiny of this project. And while we had a 50-50 relationship with Anglo, it was a 50-50, and so we weren't in absolute control. It's back in our hands. So, you know, to that extent, I think that some of the parties who were less than enthusiastic about not having control of the project over the last few years will take a look and say, you know, the opportunity exists again, plus look at that database. So
sure.
You know, I think there's an very interesting and positive dynamic going forward from this.
Now, you all recently purchased some properties from, or claims rather, from Northern Dynasty. Are you interested in the near term exploring those properties, doing some scout drilling, what have you?
You're talking about the claims we acquired from Liberty Star.
Right.
And the partnership acquired some claims from a different group, but we acquired those
Full
claims.
Metal, yeah.
Yeah, from Full Metal. And so we acquired those claims from Liberty Star as a cushion around the northern and western perimeter of the property overall, and we felt that in the circumstance, Liberty Star was struggling with a creditor, and there were other people that were looking at something, and rather than have it, those properties fall into whoever's hands, and I'm not saying that they would be irresponsible, but whoever's hands and not understanding what's going on, we felt it it was worthwhile for us to take those projects on. In addition, there is potential infrastructure, waste or tailings deposition opportunities on some of those claims. There also is, you know, exploration opportunities on those claims, but the reality is the pebble deposit that we have today is sufficient for, you know, plus 70 years of mining. So we certainly are not going to undertake any exploration on those outside grounds. We'll just keep them in good standing, and they will now be rolled 100% into the Pebble Partnership.
And from the figure that Marchand shared, about a $300,000 per month burn rate, just back of the envelope, that gives you, assuming that constant burn rate, that gives you you know, more than 5 years of continued operations without...
It does, but understand that that's kind of been our burn rate over the you know, functionally the past year for Northern Dynasty people that are, you know, not seconded to, but are working as partner-level review on PLP materials. That is going to change. If we go into permitting, we will be actually doing that, and so that number will increase. I can't tell you what that number will be today, but it will increase. And we before we do anything, obviously, you know, we'll be out talking to shareholders about what we see for 2014 and onwards in terms of the permitting process and the cost of doing that.
But you don't see any immediacy to diluting at this point with another share offering?
No, I don't see us doing a share offering in the immediate term.
Can you give a time frame on that?
You know, I won't know until we actually sit down and complete the zero-based budgeting, take a look at what the requirement would be and what the board wants to do. That will all take place probably over the next 30 days. And then we'll look at, okay, should we trigger NEPA Q4 this year as is the plan? And, you know, if the cost of going into permitting, carrying permitting, I mean, the first 6 months are going to be negligible, but then after that you've got a fair amount of engagement with the regulators, so it could amount to, you know, $10+ million a year after that, in which case we'd probably, if we were carrying it all by ourselves and not bringing anybody else in, that could entail, you know, financing sometime next year. But I'm not suggesting that that's what we want to do.
Thank you so much, and good luck.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of C457. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. And you've sort of answered these, but just to clarify, so the project probably will be smaller now than it would have otherwise been?
No, I'm not saying that. You know, again, we've done a tremendous amount of work on the project description and optimized a lot of these things. What we might do in conjunction with some of the other mining companies who want to take a look at, provide, you know, an opportunity to review different variables in that regard. But right now, it is as has been historically presented, roughly a 200,000 ton a day concentrator operation.
Okay, so it's not necessarily going to be smaller. And the timing, I guess it's early days, and it's hard to say if it'll be different from, you were talking maybe 4 years of permitting. Can you say you think it's the same, longer, shorter, or it's just hard to tell? There's too short a time period.
Well, it's very hard to tell. It's been such a short time period, you know, since Anglo gave us this information. But I don't think that impacts the time it takes to permit a project like Pebble. I think that we were all always trying to be realistic about time frames on a project of this scale, and 4 years seemed like the right number.
Okay. And, again, maybe it's hard to answer this, but you're thinking, what, you were going to spend maybe $75 million a year to get this permitted. Do you think it's going to be less expensive now, or can you make any kind of a judgment?
Again, I'd hate to step out in front of all of that, because we really haven't looked at what it would cost on a zero-based budget process. All I can really tell you is that, you know, under the, you know, dealing with a major mining company and their protocols and standards and requirements, it is expenditures are a lot higher. I mean, if I look around at some of the other projects that are being are in permitting, you know, they're running single-digit millions of dollars a year, and this project, we were running substantially. We were expecting to run substantially more than that. I'm going to say we're realistically looking at kind of $30 to $50 million a year in the permitting process. But there was also some hard work being done, ongoing work to meet Anglo's project requirements through all of that. So that certainly wasn't all just permitting, because, you know, just permitting, dealing with the regulators, would not be nearly that expensive.
Right. Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to register for a question or a comment, please press 1-4 on your telephone keypad. One moment, please, for our next question. And, Mr. Allen, there appears to be no further questions. I apologize. I take that back. Our next question is from the line of C661. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning. It occurs to me that Anglo could save themselves an additional $1 billion for 50% of the project, the Pebble project, and get themselves out of that commitment and be able to buy at today's prices, or even if it were double today's prices on Northern Dynasty, they could buy a significant percentage of Northern Dynasty. I'm sure that kind of thinking has taken place, and for example, at today's prices, you can buy, assuming that the price that the big blocks of stock would be available, you could buy 20% of Northern Dynasty, or 10% of Northern Dynasty, 20% of the project, for less than $30 million. What do you think about that?
Your logic isn't without some basis. I mean, yes, Anglo had to spend another $1 billion. The market cap of Northern Dynasty before the announcement was about $225 million. Even if they paid us double, they would have saved themselves $500 million. So there is some logic. Now, I don't want to say they're going in doing any of this. This is not my speculation. I just want to say that anybody that goes into the market, starts buying the stock, when they hit 5%, they've got a disclosure requirement. They've got another disclosure requirement at 10%. I suspect that upon disclosure of that kind of information, people would be reluctant to sell at the prevailing market prices. But you're absolutely correct that the market capitalization of Northern Dynasty didn't reflect the value of the remaining expenditure requirements of Anglo.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Kim, I think we'll take one more question, please.
Certainly. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to register for any questions or comments, please press 1-4 on your telephone keypad. And there appears to be no further questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for taking the time to join us on short notice. We appreciate your interest and your questions. If you have any follow-up questions of me, I am Doug Allen at northerndynasty.com. That's Doug, A-L-L-E-N, at northerndynasty.com. And I will attempt to get back to you in as timely a fashion as I can. Thank you again for your time and interest.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines. Have a good day, everyone.